From Nashville, Tennessee, this is Mysterious Matters for those who dare to think. And ladies and gentlemen, joining us this evening is John Matthews. And John will be discussing the mystery of Spring Hill Jack, from Victorian legend to steampunk hero. And today we will be exploring the vast urban legend surrounding this mysterious figure, this entity, whatever he may be. And if after listening to this program you are interested in reading The Mystery of Spring Hill Jack by John Matthews, you can go to MysteriousMatters.com/Jack. MysteriousMatters.com/Jack. John, when I went looking for Spring Hill Jack, I had actually heard of this guy or whatever he is once or twice before. I actually played a video game, Assassin's Creed. I forgot which one it was. He appeared in it because we were in London, England, and he came across as a demonic entity, but if you go searching for images of this Spring Hill Jack character, you'll get a different amount of images about the guy. Sometimes he'll have horns, bat-like wings. Other times he's levitating above the ground. You know, he looks like either he's an alien, a cryptid, a demonic entity, or just a man. But what can you tell us about this legend?
Someone would be walking home, usually a woman, on her own, and suddenly this figure would leap over a fence or a wall or a hedge and attack her. But this is one of the curious things about him. He never kills anybody. He never rapes anyone. He never really harms anyone. He frightens them because of his appearance. He's always dressed in black, tight-fitting clothes, sometimes with a mask, or sometimes it's said to be his face, which glowing blue eyes and fire or blue fire coming from his mouth. And most important of all, hands with very long, sharp metal claws, which he sometimes uses to scratch people. And so when you take away all the layers of legend, this mysterious character who had above all the ability to jump, and that, of course, is where he got his name, Spring-Heeled Jack. But unlike, you know, his later namesake, Jack the Ripper, he doesn't kill, he doesn't maim, he simply attacks and frightens people. But somehow that story stayed in people's imagination. It kept coming back. It's still coming back today, I might add, by the way. The last sighting was in 2011 when someone was driving home from work and with his children. And they saw something beside the road and they slowed down, and whatever it was leapt across the whole of the road very high and disappeared into the distance. And the immediate thought, I don't think they even hesitated for a moment. They immediately said, must be Spring Hill Jack, because the memory is still there.
Is Spring Hill Jack kind of a, I'm not going to say like a Santa Claus type of character, but is he just something that parents have used over generations, you think, to scare children?
In more recent times, possibly. I mean, I think there was certainly a time when, you know, when a mother would whisper to her naughty child, "Better behave or Spring-Heeled Jack will get you." So he fits into that spectrum of frightening bugaboos, likely to jump out of the shadows at you. But I think at the time, people were genuinely frightened that this would escalate into something else. I mean, you know, no less a figure than the Duke of Wellington himself, long in retirement and old, came out of retirement to lead a police manhunt in search of this being. They didn't find him. In fact, although various people were arrested at various times, nobody was actually proved to be Spring-Heeled Jack. So the mystery just spread.
Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence out there that you know of that actually supports the existence of somebody or something that looked like Spring-Heeled Jack?
Well, I mean, the only real claimant that anyone's ever come up with was a very strange Irish character, a Marquis, who was known to have a very high-pitched screeching laugh, which is something else that's also attributed to Spring-Heeled Jack himself, and also to have bulging blue eyes. So people took this as a possibility and, you know, basically tried to say that this chap was possibly the original. But really, the evidence doesn't hold up. He just happened to be around at the right time, and he had a bad reputation. He was a bit of a scoundrel. And so people thought, it must be him, it must be him. But in fact, no one's ever really come up with anything that clearly suggested that that was the actual origin of him. or indeed any person was. He seems to have appeared and been around for a few months and then disappeared. But this is where it gets interesting, because I think myself that during 1838 and maybe 1839-40, the sightings really were of a real person. And he was almost certainly a man, perhaps a disturbed man, dressed in this bizarre fashion, with a cloak and a hat and a hood and a cape and the mask and the gloves with the talons on them. But after that, he becomes legendary. I mean, we know that Jack the Ripper existed, but we don't know who he was. And so he's achieved a kind of mysterious and strange status of his own. So my own belief is that, yes, there was once perhaps a real person dressing up as Springhill Jack. But after that, it becomes the stuff of legend and myth.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there might have been more than one person or entity that people decided was Springhill Jack, as in maybe it started with this man, but somehow other people might have started up as well, dressed up like different things, because you have different accounts of what the guy looks like?
Exactly. Yes, I do. I do think that. I mean, as you say, occasionally the appearance changes a little bit, although it never goes too far away from the basic character. There are some who described him as wearing a strange thing like a helmet on top of his head. And so that led some people more recently to think that he might be an alien. John Keel, the famous ufologist, wrote an article about it in which he said, oh, yes, he must be an alien, because this would be why he was able to leap very high, because he came from a planet where the gravity was different. So we're touching on Superman here a little bit. And of course, there are plenty of people who have drawn attention to the fact that some of the pictures of Springhill Jack that appeared in the Victorian penny dreadfuls, these little short books that were sold for a penny on street corners and were full of strange and extraordinary things, that you know, he looks a little bit like Batman.
Mm-hmm, he does.
I don't know if Bob Kane ever read one of the stories or came across it. It's quite possible he did. But there's certainly some parallels there.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, in some individual drawings, sometimes you could even see that maybe he could be mistaken for a gargoyle, couldn't you?
Oh, well, yes, he has this, you know, he does have this rather grinning, evil face, and that means he was also associated with the devil because he had horns. One of the things that I came up with when I was researching the book, and I don't think anyone's pointed to it before, was the idea of these toys that children had in the late Victorian through the Edwardian period called a jack-in-the-box.
Mm-hmm.
You do still see them around occasionally today. But in many cases, apart from the fact that they were called Jack in the box, they were also very frightening, and they were mounted on springs, so that when you opened the lid, out popped the Jack and, you know, frightened all the children, we assume. So there's an interesting parallel there, I think. And they were created not long after the stories began to be first put about. So it's possible that, you know, there was something in that.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
I hadn't come across it before either, and I came across a little pamphlet in a museum in Austria where they kept a lot of these characters. And, you know, when I looked through it and read, when I read the accounts of some of the look of these things, I thought, well, but that is Springhill Jack to all intents and purposes. So, you know, who knows? Which came first?
Yes. Have you ever heard of a tulpa?
A tulpa, yes, indeed. There's something to be said for that, too, because what really happens, you know, after the first couple of years of appearances, he keeps coming back and he keeps looking much the same, but the things seem to be very disconnected and the places where he appears are over a much wider area. I mean, in the beginning, he's really pretty much centralized in London, and particularly in London's East End, around the areas of Stepney, Limehouse, Rotherhithe, Shadwell, all these places along the river, which, of course, were famous for, you know, being rather murky and strange places. But afterwards, he then begins to crop up in the more unusual places like Liverpool or, you know, in Cornwall, even in various different places. He makes an appearance, and that makes me think perhaps there was something of this element of something created from the imaginations of people because they believed in the original one, they kept feeding into that energy until it maybe manifested. She's pretty much what a tulpa is.
Do you actually believe that is possible?
I think, as I said, I keep an open mind on all things. I've never seen one myself, but I have spoken to people who believe they have. And it certainly isn't impossible. I mean, energy is energy. And if you put enough energy into it, then a thing takes on a dimensionality of its own.
Yes. Out here in the States, Tennessee area, it just got here, I guess, a month or two ago. We have a infestation of clowns. These strange-looking clowns hiding in the wilderness, tempting children. I don't know what they're wanting with children, but a lot of the places, a lot of the counties, they put out warnings about these strange clowns. If you see them, call 911. And for Halloween, do not dress up as a clown because you could be shot.
Indeed. Well, we've had them here too. They've been seen around London and here. And in fact, someone was actually stabbed to death by one.
Wow.
In the center of London a few weeks ago. So, yes, it's very interesting. I mean, you know, the other example of this, of course, that you would be familiar with from the States is the Thin Man. You know, who is this character who was actually supposedly invented for a computer game, but it's become so real to some people that a number of girls, teenage girls, described themselves as his followers and captured and tortured one of their own. You know, because they said the Thin Man had told them to. So again, although this is a different kind of figure, there's still something very similar in this faceless, dark-clad character who appears from nowhere. The same could be said for the Mothman.
Yep.
You may remember the stories about the Mothman a few years back, where, you know, where this mysterious character appeared. I forget which part of the States it was in now, but it was located, I think it was it Maryland? I'm not sure. But anyway, it became for a while a whole story that people kept on seeing this figure with this tattered moth wings flying about. And I think that probably added partly to the idea of this mysterious leaping figure. You had another one in Cape Cod, a character who just became known as the Phantom. And again, people made the associations. They thought, well, this could be Spring Heel Jack because he was seen leaping over a whole building in one instance or across a street. So the pattern's there all the time. It keeps coming back.
I probably should know this, thinking back, but I don't. I don't remember it. Is there any truth to the Phantom of the Opera? Was there a legendary phantom-like opera singer that you know of?
I believe there are some ghosts that have been sighted in the Paris Opera over the years, but the actual Phantom of the Opera was definitely invented by a French writer, Gaston Leduc, I think. I'm not sure. Of course, now it's the famous musical, but I think, you know, we may be looking here at, you know, people who had reported ghosts, ghostly sightings and so forth. I doubt if it was actually the same.
Okay. Do you have any idea of where Spring Heel Jack might have called home? Such as, did he roam from place to place? Do you think if he was a human being, do you think he might have just been a bum? Do you think he was a rich individual? Where did he go to?
Well, and it's very difficult to say exactly. I mean, the most likely place is somewhere on the outskirts of London, because that seems to have been where most of the sightings took place. I mean, there were a lot of sightings in Kensington, for instance, which nowadays is a very smart, very upmarket area of London, but at the time was just a village on the outskirts. It may be that he was wealthy because obviously he had to, you know, pay for this elaborate costume. And who knows how he managed to, you know, create the illusion, if it was one, of being able to leap so high into the air. I mean, these are things that still puzzle us. There's a very famous magical trick which was done with mirrors. Yes, you've heard it before. It was all done with mirrors, but there really was a magic stage trick that was done with a mirror which enabled people to apparently appear from nowhere and apparently leap to great heights. So it's been suggested that that particular trick was used to enable Spring Heel Jack to leap around in this way. Oh, I don't know. And the answer to your question is I don't know, because he appears in mostly around London, and then he disappears for a long time, and then he begins to pop up all over the place. And I think at that point, we've moved out of any real character into a kind of fantasy of what what he might have been and who he might have been.
Yes. As far as you know, has there been any other reports of Springhill Jack type creatures or beings around the world? And if so, what can you tell us about those besides for the Slender Man and the Mothman?
The other one that I do know about actually took place in Prague between 1940 to 1945. So around about part of the period of the Second World War and just after. And this character was called the Spring Man. And it wasn't spring as in the season, but spring again because he leapt and could vanish very quickly onto high places. And he was a kind of almost a resistance fighter. You know, he was there. His role seemed to be that of giving the beleaguered people of Prague something to believe in that wasn't just the Germans or wasn't just the Soviets or whoever it was who was attacking them at the time. So there's something of that in it, certainly. But it's interesting that these things are still happening. I mean, after I'd written the book, I was talking to some friends of mine who live not far from here in Thame. I live in Oxford and they live in Thame, which is about 20 minutes from here. And they told me that they'd been driving home one evening and that they had seen a light hanging over the road. And they stopped because they wondered if it was some, warning. And what happened was that they then saw a shadowy figure leap right away across the road and go across the country in bounds. So, this was just a few months ago. So this is, again, exactly the kind of imagery that we get with Springhill Jack.
Again, it goes back to what we had mentioned before at the beginning of the mystical presence or whatever it is in England around that area. But there's certainly something going on in England, more in England, Scotland, Ireland, more than the other places. Do you agree?
I suspect that if you went to almost anywhere in the world and really investigated more deeply, you'd find that there were a lot of mysteries. But I suppose it's the way you look at the place, really. If you know the place well, there are a lot of very interesting stories told, a lot of very interesting books written about them. The stories grow all the time. It depends a lot on where you are and on your point of view. You know, I would go to somewhere like, the Ridgeway, for instance, which is a very famous old trackway that runs across Britain not far from here. And it has a very mysterious feel to it. I might go to the White Horse Hill, where there's a prehistoric horse cut out of the chalk on the side of the hill. And it's a very strange, mysterious, and visionary kind of place. They're all over. So I guess we do have our good share of mysteries.
Before we started the show, well, I had discussed the Krampus, and I asked you what your opinion was on that and whether or not Springhill Jack and the Krampus could be one and the same. And you tell me that you were not sure that they could be. But what is the Krampus? How could you describe that for us?
Well, the Krampus is localized to Austria originally. I mean, nowadays, most people probably know it from the movie that came out a couple of years ago. And there have been one or two books about him as well. But basically, he is one of these figures who sometimes accompanies Father Christmas and who is a darker figure. He is there to punish the bad children, just as Santa is there to reward the good children. And you'll find him in quite a bit throughout Europe, characters like Black Peter, who also used to be seen going around with Father Christmas. The Krampus looks pretty much like a bear with horns. He has very long matted hair or possibly a big cloak or something made of hair and horns and a very terrifying, mad face. But I can see that superficially, if you like, there are certain similarities in the appearance, perhaps. The twisted face with the horns could certainly be seen as an echo of Springhill Jack. But I think that the Krampus himself comes out of that whole, what I would call the Protestant ethic in Germany and Austria and parts of Europe, whereby you couldn't just have good children, you had to have bad children, and they had to be punished in some way. So he's a figure who's a punishment machine. Whereas Springhill Jack is much more, I think, in common with the tricksters He doesn't really ever do any serious damage. The worst he ever does, I think, was to rip the clothing of young ladies and occasionally scratch their bosoms. That was about the worst thing he ever did.
Are we sure that wasn't related to, he wasn't related to Donald Trump?
Well, who knows? As if Donald Trump starts jumping through the air, then we'll know, won't we? We're all baffled over here as to how anybody can possibly be taken in by him, but you know, takes all sorts.
It takes all sorts of people. That it certainly does. Getting off of that, have you ever seen, I think it was on the BBC, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell?
Absolutely. It's my absolute favorite book of all time, and I watched it with great delight. It wasn't a bad shot at dramatizing Suzanne Clarke's amazing book, but it wasn't quite good enough for me. I enjoyed it.
How accurate would you say it would be that England, at one time or another, maybe even now, embraces the belief in magic and magical beings, and that certain individuals can possess the elements of our world, that they can manipulate things around us?
Oh, that's a very big question. Well, I mean, yes, it existed and it does exist still. Not quite in the way that the book presents it and not quite in the way that the series presents it. I mean, it is a fantasy, but yes, there are people who have extraordinary powers and gifts and strengths, I think, that who have learned how to work with the elements of nature and to maybe in a way manipulate some of those things. I mean, the old idea of the magician, the occultist, there are still many of them around. I know quite a few myself, and you know, they certainly have an ability to merge with reality in a way that most of us don't. And I think that gives them abilities that not everybody has.
Yes.